The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
It is great to have you with us here on a Friday afternoon, and we are raring for the weekend. The College World Series underway in Omaha. A lot of other things going on. We'll commemorate Juneteenth a little bit later on. That is Monday. But we begin, with one of the biggest Juneteenth is on Sunday, I think the commemoration is Monday. We begin with one of the biggest guests we've had here in a long, long time. Will Anderson Jr., the All-American, the All-Everything from the University of Alabama. And he joins us to talk a little bit about the upcoming season and what he's been up to. Will, first of all, thank you. Appreciate you making time. How are you, and how's the summer going?
It's going good. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. The summer's going great. The team's been getting after it, working hard. You know, Coach Saban's been on us, and we're just having a good time, you know, going out there, trying to get better every day. So it's been great.
I guess for most of us, summertime is fun. Go to the beach, go to the lake, maybe chill out. It's not that way when you play for the Crimson Tide, is it?
No, sir, it's not. Out there busting your butt every day, trying to get better, man. Working 6:30 a.m. lifts, but it's worth it.
But have you had any downtime? Because I mean, we're curious. What does somebody like you do with a day off?
I'll probably go help with recruiting tonight or tomorrow. You know, that's probably my downtime. Spend some time with some recruits.
Okay, I tried. I always tried to make an attempt with one of Nick Saban's players to get them out of the process mode, but I'm giving up. You are not hearing. You're not having any of that, Will. Listen, it's great to have you on. All kidding aside. Your story is really fabulous. We've read so much and heard so much about the relationship with your family and what it means to them. Let me start with them, because it is Father's Day coming up on Sunday, and you are a junior, of course. What has your dad meant to your career?
He's meant everything to my career. My dad is a big influence on my life, sports-wise, you know, not even sports-wise, just overall. He's done so much for me. Keeps my head on sharp. You know, he's a great person to talk to whenever I'm going through something. He has been a tremendous dad. I mean, I give all the praise and love and a big shout out to my dad, because, you know, he's my mom. She overtakes everything, because she's more the pitcher, because she is a big football mom. But my dad, he just stays in the back. But I have to give a big shout out to my dad, because he's done a tremendous job of raising me and getting me to the point where I'm at, where it's putting me in training, you know, helping me. You know, he was working in late nights, but in the morning times, he would, you know, try to talk to me and stuff like that and get me right. So he's been a good help in the whole process that I've been going through.
Well, I've seen shots of them at games, and I mean, they're parents, and you know, they're proud of their son. And I know that you're not watching the game; you're playing in it. But what does it mean to have family members, your parents, and your other family members who are following you around so loyally and offering so much support to you?
You know, it's funny when you say I'll be playing a game, but honestly, that's like one of the biggest things I do. Like, if I could, for a quick minute, I try to peek and see where they at, just to know, like, of course I know they're there, but just to see their faces. My parents mean a lot to me, and when I know they're at the game and I know they're seated, when they're not late and I know they're there, it just makes me even more excited, because I love playing in front of them. I love when they're there watching me play. I know it brings them very much excitement to watch me play, but I try to peek in the stands a little bit, you know, here and there. Like, where my mom and dad at? I got to see them. I got to know they out here. So that's a little side note about me. I do peek and see if they sit in the stands or not.
Well, you know, I mean, when we watch you play, we wouldn't think you're thinking about anything else in the world but absolute destruction. So that's glad to know that, and I'm sure the other team's happy to know that you're at least looking up once in a while. Last season was so interesting, and we talked to so many different people. We even had Bryce Young on here who was angry about you not getting that invite to New York. It seems like you almost got more attention by not going than by going. I know it would have been nice to have been there, but what did that mean to you when so many people around the country stood up for you?
Yeah, I want to just give a big shout out to all the people that, you know, supported me, even though, you know, they thought I should have been there. And of course, I thought I should have been there for them recognizing my play and my hard work. Like I told many people, you know, it was quite a blessing, because when I sat down and wrote my goals for the offseason, the Heisman was not even in my mind. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like nowhere to be found. But when the train got rolling and everything, and, you know, the Heisman hype started, you know, I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was very dope, you know, for a defensive player, you know, to get that hype. And, you know, I started thinking that, you know, I did have a chance to go, you know, I was out there playing hard, you know, just helping my teammates out, you know, just doing my best. But, I mean, overall, you know, I'm looking forward to it again. It's most definitely on my goal list this year coming up. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Will, I know you only have one life, but if you come back in another life, you might want to go to a team that doesn't have a Heisman Trophy candidate at the quarterback position.
You're right about that.
But, I mean, it had to be fun, though. I mean, you're on this team, yeah. and you know, you've seen this parade of Heisman winners. And I can understand it, but this year there is going to be a push. It's not easy to win the Heisman 2 years in a row, but I think there's a lot of momentum. You're not concerned about individual awards, but it would be nice to be in New York for that, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir. It would. I think it would be cool.
Well, I think you're going to make it. I don't have too much doubt. Let me ask you about the subject that is just omnipresent in college sports right now, and that's NIL. And you have a unique story on that. The concept is that players just have their hand out. They can't wait to grab the money. But what are your thoughts on dealing with a big part of college athletics right now?
You know, like I was saying back in the season, you know, I'm not judging anybody for what they do. You know, everybody goes about NIL their own way. For me, I just wanted to focus on my season first and, you know, knock that out the way because, you know, I have more time to do stuff in spring and stuff like that because it's spring football. You know, you don't have to do as much as you have to do in the fall. But as far as NIL go, I think it's a great idea. You know, it's a lot of people, you know, to help get money, not only for themselves but for their families at, you know, this age that we are in right now and help a lot of family members out and stuff like that. That's how I look at it. For myself, you know, it's an opportunity for me to like start setting up stuff for like later in my living years. You know what I'm saying? Like put some money over here in this account, you know, for anything that's going on. And I'm actually trying to take over my own brand. I just started this agency called A3. Brian Jones, Kenyon, Dwight Johnson, you know, most of those NFL players you may know of, they're helping me do that. And it's really just for young players, you know, that, you know, need help. I know for me and my family, we didn't know too much about, you know, contracts and stuff like that and all this other stuff. So they've been helping me get all that stuff up. So this brand, this A3, is going to help young athletes, you know, around the world and their parents know what they're going through and get help and stuff like that. So as far as NIL go, I think it's a good idea. I think it will help a lot of players out. And, you know, my brand that I'm taking over, I think it will be helpful for a lot of, you know, other young athletes just like me. So it's been great.
We're talking to Will Anderson, Jr. of the University of Alabama. Will, we were out at the draft 2 months ago in Vegas, and I couldn't help but think of you because, I mean, there was already speculation about the next draft. And I know that you're geared into the next season, but you had to hear some of that. I mean, it's not like you're just completely letting the draft go by without maybe peeking a few minutes here and there. When you hear the conversation about yourself and Bryce, for that matter, how do you tamp that down a little bit and get ready for the season?
You know, for me, it's all that those type of things have always been easy for me. You know, not to look too far ahead and be where my feet are and be in the moment because, you know, anything can happen at any moment. And I always like to stay in present time and let the future worry about itself. So, you know, for me, it wasn't really that hard. You know, I appreciate all the love that people are showing towards me. But I have a season, you know, that's coming up that I have to still play. And, you know, I just have to prepare for it the right way like I did last year. And, you know, just keep the ball moving and keep rolling. So that's kind of where my focus is, perfecting my craft, being a good leader, helping my teammates out. And that's where, like, my main focus has been at is this upcoming season right now.
And Will, speaking of the season, Alabama is going to be the preseason number one. That's certainly not breaking news. The expectations are always that. As you look at this season, last year – you came in second. Everywhere else, that's really a great finish at Alabama. We know what that is. But what are your thoughts as we get ready for the upcoming season?
You know, my thoughts are, you know, I feel like last year we had a very young team. You know, like I said in a couple of interviews, we just didn't have enough players that knew what the Alabama standard was. But since this offseason that's been going on, I feel like the young guys, the new recruits that we have came in, they've done a tremendous job. I give my hats off to them because they came right in. I feel like they already knew the standard. We're really hungry, so it wasn't really much that we had to, you know, put into them, because I feel like they got the presence on that. Okay, we're not playing this year. We know what to expect. We know the standard. Just because we're Alabama doesn't mean people are going to lay down for us. We have to go out there and show why we are a dominant team. And I think that's what's been carrying over from spring ball to summer workouts and stuff like that. So, you know, the expectations are high still. The standard's still going to be the standard. And, you know, we're just going to keep that moving forward and everybody get on board with that.
Let me ask you before you go about your coaches. You have, of course, Coach Golden, your coordinator, and Coach Saban, who's a defensive wizard and always has been. There's not much they can do with you. Nick Saban has laughed about the few times that he can correct you, which are few and far between. But discuss your coaches and what they have meant to you and how you deal with them, because you're so good. I mean, I'm not just – everyone knows that and you're also very coachable.
You know, I tell people all the time, I'm so thankful for them because, you know, they put a lot of trust in me to play different positions on the field. And, you know, they believe in me, and that gives me confidence that, you know, Coach Saban believes in me, Coach Golden believes in me, Coach H, Coach Sal, all the coaches believe in me to play all these different positions on the field. And, you know, it just gives me a more confidence boost, like, oh, my coach trusts in me. So, you know, I love all my coaches. They do a great job of helping us get lined up, you know, putting us in the right areas to make plays, you know, what are our strengths, what are our weaknesses, and, you know, they help us build on those things and stuff like that. So, you know, I love all my coaches. They're great. They do an excellent job preparing us Monday through Saturday to get us ready for the game, and there's no other coaching staff that I would rather play for, call coaches or anything like that. So Alabama's been very great to me, and I appreciate it.
Finally, about Coach Saban, I mean, there's so many things that have been said about him, and his status is what it is. But describe the experience of learning and getting better, and obviously of excelling under what we all agree is the greatest football coach in history.
You know, I love it. Like, I feel like you come to Alabama because you have the same mindset as the people that's there. And I tell people all the time, I feel like me and Coach Saban, we have the exact same mindset. That's why it's so easy for me to play under him or to be coached by him, because ultimately we have the same goal. We have the same mindset, the same mentality, and overall we want the same thing. And I think that's why it's so easy being coached by him. And, you know, I don't really get fussed out a lot like that or nothing like that, because, you know, I know what to expect. I know what to do as far as such and things like that. So it's been great. And to have somebody like Coach Saban to coach you that's been in the game a long time, that knows a lot, who is the GOAT, you know, it's the best feeling ever. So it's great.
I know as Coach Saban and other players always look at the first game, they don't look at the season. But do you know that schedule very well, or can you just focus, okay, here's what we do now. We'll get to summer practice. We'll start the fall. And then wherever the first game is, we'll show up. Or do you start looking or peeking a little bit down the road, thinking about some other games?
No. Even though I know every team that most every team that we put on the schedule, we take it one game at a time. I think that's what you have to do, is take it one game at a time. You can't look too far ahead. You always got to be where your feet are and make sure you're not looking too far ahead. And Coach Saban always preaches that. So it's been great. I do know the schedule. Utah State is up first, and that's the game that we're preparing for.
Yeah, I had a feeling you were going to drop a couple other schools there, like Texas A&M, but I know you didn't, and I won't ask you. So. there's a bit of a revenge tour, according to at least the Alabama fans that we talk to every year, every day. Hey, Will, I'll let you go. You've been great with your time. We can't thank you enough. What a treat for all of us to have a chance to hear you and see you relax, and we hope you have a great summer.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me again.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Some news from the Transformative Committee, is that what it's called? Transformation Committee? I keep wanting to call it the Transportation Committee. Well, they got they're changing some windows to help. Oh, who knows what they're going to do? But this is all making the rounds that they're finally beginning to share with us all the hard work. So what's next in the Power Five revenues? OU Texas move and the Big 12. We'll talk a little bit about that later on. And we'll talk about Juneteenth today. Of course, it falls on Sunday, the official holiday on Monday. And we'll talk to a young man whose father was part of one of the most important movements of the civil rights movement. Matt Fortuna joining us from The Athletic. David Dennis Jr. He'll be the second junior we have on the show today. We just had Will. And let's give you an update on what's happening in Omaha right now. It is 8-3. A&M cracked a three-run homer just a few minutes ago, but Oklahoma just had an incredible seven-run second inning. So Aggies hanging on. The game's a long way from being over based on some of the pitching going on. Let's take some phone calls here at 855-242-7285. The champion.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you
so
much for taking my call.
Good
Friday. I'm doing fantastic. Well, sir, all due respect, please don't call me a champion because I'm feeling violent as always. So I don't want to be the champion. I want to cause more destruction. You know, I don't remember the last time that I watched wrestling, so I have no clue. But I can tell you this much, this is a proven fact. Professional wrestlers, they won more championships than your Texas A&M Aggies since 1939. So good old buddy pal, Waterboy Matt in San Antonio. Find a better promo and catch up to me probably Monday. Just work on your little promo. As far as legend is concerned, I am not afraid of you either. So how about you take your black hat, black pet, because I have my black sheep with me. So why don't you do yourself a favor, legend? Why don't you take your balls out of your purse and use it? Because it seems like Nick Saban is using your balls and he won himself seven national championships. So this is what I'm going to say, Mr. Feinbaum. Hey, legend. Out.
Was he talking about the balls and strikes in the College World Series? I think that's what he was talking about. John is up next in Louisville.
I think they were different balls, Paul, just saying.
I don't know. I'm just a talk show host.
He always comes shot out of a can loaded for bear. You do like
there's no easing into anything with this cat.
By the way, great opening interview. I love the story of Aiden Hutchinson breaking his dad's sack records last year. So it's kind of cool to have a defensive star at the Heisman Awards. And I think he will definitely be there in New York later this year.
Absolutely.
And I was going to talk about two things. One is I think Alabama actually had a better recruiting year. And the second, I was going to bring up Heather Denich's great article on the NCAA's Transformation Committee recommendations. I'll start with Alabama. Alabama actually had a better recruiting average. The only difference in point total was that Texas A&M had 30 recruits and Alabama had 26. But the big difference was in the transformation, transfer portal. Alabama brought in five very highly recruited, registered recruits. So they plugged the holes they needed to plug at two in the receiver, running back, cornerback, and offensive line. So overall, I think Alabama had a better recruiting class. And then on the NCAA Transformation Committee recommendations, they're talking about two portal windows, one at the end of November till the early signing period and one in April. And I think that will actually improve the transfer portal process. And then the other I'm a little suspect on. They're talking about improving the current infraction process, actually speeding it up and holding the coaches responsible rather than the players and the teams. So your thoughts?
Yeah, I think I mean, you got some really bright people that are on this, chaired by the Ohio AD and Greg Sankey. My big concern is not the recommendations, it's the execution of it. I don't trust the enforcement division any longer. I mean, they're basically just a bunch of people who just have time has left them by. So I think it's really the devil is in the details. I mean, these are great recommendations, but can the NCAA find a way to execute them?
Well, they're going to vote on it on August 3rd, according to Heather's article. So it could be in.
My point though is it's going to go into effect, but a lot of things have gone into effect that the NCAA has been inactive and quite frankly inept to administrate. So I think ultimately that's the question. Thank you very, very much. Kevin is up next. Good afternoon, Kevin. Kevin, can you hear me? How about no? Mike is up next. Hello, Mike. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I've been listening for a while, and I just want to make a comment about the Alabama Texas A&M recruiting, and everybody talking about A&M and, you know, supposedly buying their class. I still have yet to find a game that this recruiting class has won for anybody, and you know, for Texas A&M. And I was just wondering what your comment is on that. I mean, everybody's getting upset about.
Yeah, here's the thing about the A&M recruiting class. I mean, if this class develops and sticks around, it will be epic. But we all know how difficult that is. So I think what A&M was trying to prove by selling this class is that, hey, we're legitimate. I mean, they spent so much time talking about the number one class. Remember when Jimbo came out with that rather bizarre press conference that said he wasn't going to LSU, which most coaches don't ever address. The whole idea behind that was to really embarrass LSU by saying, I'm staying here. Why am I staying here? Because we have the number one recruiting class in the country. He was already hyping it before they had it. It's about hype. It's about momentum. And that's part of college football right now.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We will chat later with a couple of more guests, some important guests. So we started with Will Anderson Jr., so we have a big hill to climb. Anyway, if you're welcome to give us a ring and call us now at 855-242-7285. We will certainly sprinkle your calls in throughout the day. Let's check out Bill, who is up next in Orlando. Hello, Bill.
Paul, how are you, sir? I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
I follow college football pretty close, not as close as I used to because I'm getting old. What is the deal that they're trying to pin on Miami now? For what? I seen an article in the paper the other day about it, but really didn't explain anything. You know, I can't believe that Miami... I mean, what could they do wrong now? Is my question.
Well, I think it's just an irrelevant story. The NCAA was asked by the leaders of the sport to be more aggressive. So they got on a plane and went down and talked to a bunch of people. It doesn't mean anything. I know headlines today are misleading, but there will be nothing to come out of this. Absolutely nothing.
I don't see how there could be, but in the same respect, the people that we have there now, Paul, watch out, folks, because Miami's going to be back.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. We had the conversation with Ruiz a couple of weeks ago, John Ruiz. I was impressed. I thought he made a really good pitch. And I think with Mario Cristobal, that is going to be a hot program. I totally agree.
I used to follow him real, real close, Paul, to the point that, you know, we are second best ever in road wins in a row. We're still number one in the country as far as how many games we've won at home in a row, which is 58, you know. And when I seen that, I just went, you know what? You got to be kidding me. Miami have to be out of their minds to be stupid now, you know. And all I could say is this, Paul. I played there. I still go there. I'm about 250 miles from the house to the stadium. Go Canes, baby. That's all I can say. They treat us good, real good. Paul, I appreciate the call. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Thank you very much, Bill. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Let's continue with more phone calls. Ed is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Ed, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, I was just like to say that everybody had their prayers out for Mike Pratt and his family. Mike was a color commentator for UK for 20 years and passed away from cancer and was also a good player at Kentucky, All-American.
You know, Ed, I'm glad you mentioned that.
All-American.
I didn't know Mike well, but I'd run into him. He was a superb player. I remember as a young person playing for Coach Rupp. I'll never forget. He was just fabulous. And I know he went on. He was a head coach, I believe, for Charlotte and somebody else. I'm so sorry to hear that. He is truly one of the legendary cats of all time, and I'm so sorry to hear that he passed away.
He was kind of overshadowed by Dan Issel.
Yeah, he was there at the same time, wasn't he?
But you know, yep. And just prayers and thoughts to his family. And thank you, Paul.
Thank you. You're talking about my youth now. Following basketball, and Mike Pratt played with Dan Issel, who was one of the greats. He played, I believe, in the ABA. Yeah, I grew up going to ABA games in my hometown, and I remember seeing him play there. So we certainly pass along our deepest condolences to his family, and just a legendary player. And yeah, that happens just, I guess, because of age. You see that a lot. It happens every decade, but I guess when you're when I heard that earlier, it really did affect me because of you remember these guys when you were young and now they're old. And look at me. Mike Pratt, our deepest condolences. We'll take a break. Want to hear from you at 855-242-7285. Love to hear from you. We got a long way to go today. We've already talked a little bit about we had Will Anderson on Junior, and we will hear from you right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Father's Day is Sunday. What's your favorite Father's Day gift you've ever given or received? I don't know. I mean, I'm not. I realize this is an old story, but is Father's Day not like discounted compared to Mother's Day? I mean, Mother's Day is huge. Father's Day is like, oh, yeah, let's.
Here's a necktie.
Yeah, let me. Anybody got? Let's run up to the mall and see if they got any socks at Sears. I mean, it's like.
Here's an ugly tie.
Yeah, it's just. I mean, I know it's special, but it's not quite as. Anyway, if you're more than welcome to share your Father's Day stories with us. I mean, there are some good Father's Day stories. I remember my dad and I think he took me to a game, but I couldn't drive, so that's why. But a lot of Father's Day stories with golf. The U.S. Open always ends on Father's Day. But Mother's Day is just, it could be that mothers are just more important.
Yeah, slightly.
I don't know. I have no earthly idea. I'm just opining. Michael is in Sarasota. Hey, Michael.
Paul, it is my pleasure, sir. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you for calling.
Okay, Paul, I've got a very good story for you.
Love to hear it.
From the age of 64 to 68, I played semi-pro football in Florida in one of the best leagues in America and on one of the best teams, and I was coached by a former All-Pro, Ernest Givens, for 4 years.
Oh, wow.
And in the last couple of weeks, I have just published a book called The Golden Gladiator.
Really?
And I think you would enjoy reading it and talking about it.
Well, tell us a little bit about it before we have a chance to read it.
Yes, I mean, if you'd like, when I get off the phone, just have someone pass me your address, and I'll be more than happy to send you a couple of copies.
Okay, we will do that.
If you go to Guinness World Records and plug in oldest American football player, you will see a picture of me.
Somehow, I don't know why we lost our caller there, but Michael is the oldest. Yeah, I'm looking at the book now.
He's
the oldest player in America. What happened to the call? He's a senior citizen, and he's trying to play in semi-pro. Is that it? Anyway, we'll try to get him back. Are you interested in the story?
Not too.
You're not? I am.
Well, then call him back.
Okay. Randy's all upset. Randy said, "Give that guy the hook."
Next man up.
Okay. Jan is up next in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Jan.
Paul, I know you know this, but mothers carry the children for 9 months. Of course we're more important.
Oh, is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it in a nutshell.
I'm sure. I didn't know that. But
I mean, I know you know that, but
well, Jan,
you,
I,
maybe
I mean,
not.
I will tell you, and... I mean, Mother's Day was sacrosanct. I mean, I once was out of town, and this is before cell phones. I was working. I had to cover an event in New York, and I tried my mother on the way up when I flew up in the morning, couldn't get her. And then I'm literally in Manhattan stopping at phone booths trying to call her, and this is... And I don't think anybody's ever been more upset with somebody.
Really?
I mean,
you tried your best.
I mean, it was, you know, things were different back then. You just didn't, you couldn't leave a message. You couldn't text. And
oh, I remember very well.
Yeah, I learned the importance of Mother's Day when I was about 22 years old. Don't ever miss it again.
No, because we are special.
Yeah.
Because we carry you.
When I think of Father's Day, Jan, I think of a grill. You know, I think of baseball, golf, but I don't really think of anything more than that.
Right. Yeah, you just want to take a nap.
It's just like, okay, what do you want? It's your day. What do you want? Like, you want you want 3 hours to go do whatever you want? Get out of here.
I wondered if I had to call.
If I had misunderstood the importance of Father's Day, I'm glad I didn't.
It's only because we carry the children.
Okay. And by the way, I will say this in defense of all mothers. It's not like it ends right there. It's not like, okay, 9 months, here's the baby, I'm done. I'll see you guys later. I'm going to the spa. It's a long process. Well, I appreciate you pointing that out.
Okay, well, I got to say one thing.
Sure.
Roll Tide. Okay, thanks.
Jan, you take care of yourself. Okay, Michael is back, even though you don't want him back.
Well, he can come back.
Okay.
It's Friday.
Michael, the world's oldest.
I do not know what happened. I thought I was actually cut off.
No, well.
But, Paul, so if you heard the last part, If you go to Guinness World Records, plug in oldest American football player, you will see my picture because I am the oldest American football player. But for those 4 years, from 64 to 65, I played semi-pro football with 25 and 30-year-olds here in Florida.
That's pretty cool. So what was that like?
Well, Paul, it was probably the four best years of my life. I mean, it was a little bit of a process because I played high school football in Bayshore, Long Island, played for a couple of years at East Carolina University, played semi-pro football in New York in the early 70s, and then all I did was stay in shape. My nephew was an all-star in 2012 and got to play in the Boomer Esiason All-Star Classic on Long Island,
right.
Went to see the game, had an epiphany that I wanted to get back on the football field again, came to Sarasota where I lived during the winter, Googled semi-pro football in the area. This team came up, coached by Ernest Givens.
Mm-hmm.
And for about 2 years, just worked to make the team. And from 2014 until 2018, played the 4 years with the Sarasota Millionaires and the Southwest Florida Gladiators.
Okay. Well, Michael, I am going to put you on hold. I want to read the book. I'm big on books. I love books. So,
yes, and I'll tell you, because there's a bunch of stuff about Alabama football in it, Paul, which you would enjoy.
Well,
there's some stuff about LSU.
Yeah.
But we'll get you a couple of books.
Thank you very much, Michael.
My pleasure, Paul. Thank you very much.
Michael,
enjoy
back on hold. Why were you telling me to give this guy the hook?
Yeah, we need new books.
when we get those books... Can we, like, is there like a bookstore around here we can go try to trade them in for?
Yeah, the used place you get.
Okay, Patrick is up next. Hey, Patrick, you got a book out?
Paul,
yes,
what's up, brother?
How are you?
Never talked to you. Love your show.
Thank you very much.
This dude repping his book and all this stuff. Come on, man. That's lame. Come on, Paul.
I tell you what, if I ever write another book, I'm calling every show in America going, hey, I got a book.
Man, well, they're not as nice as you. You probably wouldn't get past the phone screen.
I probably wouldn't. Like, what's it about? Yeah, I'm the oldest living pickleball player.
Right. Well, Paul, let me
I might be, by the way.
Your show is phenomenal because you're just kind of like a laid-back guy. I mean, easy to talk to, honest. I mean, so I enjoy your show, man. Listen all the time.
Well, Patrick, thank you. I mean, this week, Patrick, I appreciate that very much. We had a guy call in who was supposed to do the national anthem today at the College World Series, but he got deep six because he did the horns down. This guy is pushing his book. You ever feel like Saturday morning at the swap shop?
Yeah.
You know, hey, I got a tractor I need to sell. If you want to get, if you got a book, we're the place.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.